Hello, this is Barbara Reidenauer with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, May 22, 2026. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with Recreation, Decatur sliding into summer. Memorial Day weekend kicks off season of concerts, pool fun. The unofficial start to summer is Memorial Day weekend, no matter what the calendar says, and Decatur Park District is raring to go. The Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater kicks off at 7 p.m. Friday, today, May 22nd, with the 1985 Totally 80s Mixtape live show. It's all 80s music, every genre of the 80s, the greatest hits we all remember so well, said Clay Gerhardt, executive director of the Decatur Park District. On Saturday, Run the World, a tribute act devoted to Beyoncé and Destiny's Child, takes place at 7 p.m. And at noon Saturday, Splash Cove opens, with over-the-top ice cream shop opening at 2 p.m. the same day. Splash Cove staff have been working hard cleaning, painting, and preparing the water park, Gerhardt said. The lifeguards have been training since May 2nd, including an exercise in which they each must deep dive into the main competition pool, retrieve a brick from the bottom, and bring it back as training for rescuing a small child. That pool was the first to be filled and treated, Gerhardt noted. Dustin Bradshaw, manager of the Devon, said there are several new things at the concession stand that he thinks will be popular. We're going to have a few new options, he said. We'll have chicken tenders this year, which we've never had before, and beer and orange crush floats for a sweet option that's not candy. Our Devon donuts are new. I was able to taste test some of them. It's like a beignet donut with filling. They're phenomenal, he said. For non-alcoholic drinks, the Lakeshore Fizz, which was new last year, will be back. Alani, a popular energy drink brand, will also be available. And the Devon is adding cold brew coffee and mocha, vanilla, and salted caramel flavors. Tickets are still available for most shows on the schedule, but a few are looking like they'll sell out, Bradshaw said. Those are Brantley Gilbert on July 3rd, Christian artist Josiah Queen, July 11th, and Foreigner, August 4th. Lawn tickets are still available for Air Supply, July 25th, and Russell Dickerson, September 6th, but there are still plenty of lawn tickets for those shows. And the photo on page A2 here shows Noah Hines practicing infant CPR during lifeguard training for the upcoming season at Decatur Park District's Splash Cove on Wednesday, May 20th. Splash Cove opens at noon Saturday, tomorrow, May 23rd, and the young man has a doll there, and he's doing CPR gently on the training for infant CPR, but doing it on this doll. And there are other lifeguard trainees in the background. And on the front page, the photo is Aiden Mulgrew and Chase Goodman training to be lifeguards for the upcoming season at Decatur Park District Splash Cove on Wednesday, May 20th. Splash Cove opens at noon on Saturday, May 23rd, and the two young men are standing outside of the pool with the pool slides and other colorful things that are in the pool behind them. And Aiden Mulgrew has a whistle in his mouth, and the other person here, Chase Goodman, has his hands up to his neck. Decatur Boys and Girls Club acts as summer programming. Excuse me. In an announcement Wednesday, the Decatur Boys and Girls Club told parents and guardians that it's axing its usual summer programs due to a cash crunch. A letter from the board of directors, dated May 18th, said despite our diligent efforts, ongoing financial challenges have led us to make this incredibly difficult decision. We recognize that this news may create significant challenges for your family. Please know that we are committed to supporting you through this transition and will provide families with a list of nearby youth-serving organizations offering summer camp programming. Parents and guardians with questions and concerns were invited to contact the club at 217-422-9605. Again, 422-9605. Or send a message to info@DecaturILBGC.com. DecaturILBGC.com. Again, we profoundly are thankful for the opportunity to serve your children in our community and appreciate your understanding and continued support, the club's letter concluded. The Boys and Girls Club serves young people ages 7 to 18. Activities range from homework help to scouts to fitness, sports, wellness, and nutrition, money management, career exploration, drug and alcohol resistance, cooking, and Street Smart, which teaches kids how to make good choices and stay away from gangs and violence. Options for youngsters looking for summer fun include Decatur Park District, where the Yellow Hat Park Leaders will be in 9 neighborhood parks on weekdays, leading games and activities and providing lunch. The schedule is available at decatur-parks.org. Again, that's decatur-parks, with an S, .org. Also on the front page, Moquegua rallies to save fireworks. Just the threat of taking away the annual fireworks display during an extra special year motivated residents of the village of Moquegua to save the pyrotechnic display. With a sigh of relief, the fireworks and festivities will take place on July 3rd in the park north of the village. The concern came after the village of approximately 2,000 found their budget was in the red, limiting even the police department. The fireworks also were on the chopping block. As the country celebrates 250 years throughout the year, the community knew this was a problem they had to take on themselves, and the money wasn't there, said Nick Adams. Adams took on the responsibility of fundraising, but admitted he wasn't sure if it could be accomplished. But people said, "I think you can do it. People will donate," he said. In the past, organizers had until April 1st to reserve fireworks companies for Independence Day celebrations. Adams was able to move the deadline to May 1st with Nostalgia Pyrotechnics, Moquegua's go-to fireworks company, giving us more time to raise the money, he said. A pancake breakfast hosted by the American Legion was one of the first fundraisers. According to Mike Donaldson, commander for the local American Legion, the organization is a community-based group. When the need for a fundraiser was addressed, the veterans group stepped up. "We've done well with our breakfasts," Donaldson said. Members volunteered by serving pancakes, cinnamon rolls, biscuits and gravy, and other breakfast items. We were doing so well that we ran out of coffee, Donaldson said. Muddy Waters, the local coffee shop and the nearby barbershop, donated the beverage to finish out the fundraiser. A 50-50 drawing was also included in the donation total. More than $3,500 was raised after the breakfast. To continue the fundraising, Adam set up accounts at the 3 local banks for future donations. "So you can just donate to Moquegua Fireworks," he said. Donation buckets were also placed at Crazy Lady's Restaurant and the local grocery store, raising more than $150. Others promised to match the donations. "People can come together," Adam said, "and this shows that they can." In just 3 weeks, more than $14,000 was raised, surpassing the $10,000 needed for a successful display. Along with the cost of the fireworks, funds are needed for insurance, permits, and a risk management policy. The remainder will go towards next year's fireworks display. "I think it's great the village did come together," said newly appointed Mayor Angela Locke. "Even in tough times, a small community can come together and get things back on track," she said. The village is continuing to bounce back, according to the mayor. The village will soon post the job listing for a police officer. Fireworks aren't the only activity planned for July 3rd festivities. Food will be provided by food trucks, the concession stand will be open, and inflatables will be set up to keep the children active. "It's just like we've normally done in the past," Donaldson said, "but it's important for the community." And in news in brief on page A2, Decatur crews to flush hydrants. City of Decatur Water Services crew will be flushing fire hydrants around the city from May 25th to June 22nd. The flushing of hydrants is a routine maintenance process that removes sediment and improves water quality. Temporary discoloration of water and a slight drop in water pressure may occur in areas where hydrants are being flushed. There are no safety or health issues associated with discolored water. To clear cloudy or discolored water once flushing is complete, wait approximately 15 minutes before running cold water in the bathtub or outside faucet. Then run water through other faucets. If water is still not clear, wait 30 minutes and repeat the process. A map of hydrants to be flushed can be found at decaturil.gov/. DecaturIL.gov/. If you notice water crews in your area, water customers are asked to minimize water use until the flushing is complete. Contact Water Services for additional information or with questions at 217-875-5705. Again, that's 217-875-5705. And in more local and state news on page A3, more boom for mowing eyed. Decatur looks to purchase a $281,000 grass cutter. To satisfy its growing desire to mow the parts that mowers can't reach, the city of Decatur is taking a $281,000 slice out of taxpayer wallets to invest in an Energreen Alpha Eagle boom arm mower. Resembling a miniature orange backhoe, but with a 30-foot telescopic boom emerging from the side, armed with a cutting head that looks like it could slice through anything, the Alpha Eagle appears to be the state-of-the-art mowing art. The operator is ensconced in a heated, air-conditioned cab with AM/FM radio and guides the boom arm with a game console-like joystick. The unit also is equipped with a stability control system and strobe light package for good measure. City Council members unanimously signed off on the purchase at their Monday night meeting, and the new mower will be used specifically for trimming awkward areas around Lake Decatur. It joins a city mowing stable that already includes other equally exotic mechanical beasts. In March, the council green-lighted the purchase of an Energreen America Robo MIDI 60 horsepower remote controlled tool carrier to give its full title. The $111,000 robotic machine has no one aboard and is guided by an operator who can be standing nearly 500 feet away. Shaped like a small bulldozer, it crawls around on two tank-like tracks, and its swinging hammer rotator mulching attachment can slice through weeds and grass on slopes with a grade equivalent of 180 degrees or 180%. Making Monday's sales pitch for the Alpha Eagle, City Manager Melissa Hahn said its boom arm will permit safe trimming while reaching over obstacles like guardrails and fences. And like the RoboMidi, it isn't put off by precipitous inclines. It can mow on steep slopes, ditches, or wet grass, wet areas where a mower can't normally go, Hahn wrote in a briefing memo. Hahn also pointed out that the $281,000 price tag is a relatively cut price bargain from Woody's Municipal Supply Company in Edwardsville. Quotes for similar mowers from some of their dealers range from $283,400 to $332,480. The Alpha Eagle will replace one of two existing boom arm mowers that has suffered a broken limb after a service life of 1,560 hours. Hahn said it isn't worth the very extensive repairs needed to fix it. The second of the existing boom arm mowers, with a still intact 24-foot arm, will be sold to the Decatur Park District in a $50,000 deal. And the photo here shows a picture of the boom mower a boom mower similar to the one the city of Decatur is buying to cut info into its out-of-reach grass trimming problems. And it definitely looks like state-of-the-art. It's on big tractor-type tires with a enclosed cab, clear glass all around, and the boom arm behind it. Logan County okays pause on data centers. Lincoln, the Logan County Board voted Tuesday to impose a 12-month moratorium on data center applications, including a 500-megawatt proposal near Latham that has been the source of public outcry over the last several months. In February, the board authorized a 60-day moratorium on applications to allow time for the county to evaluate the pros and cons of these facilities and draft its own regulations. At the time, the fear was that if applications were suspended any longer than that, the project's developer, Hut 8, could pull out. Hut 8's project is estimated to bring 1,500 temporary construction jobs, 200 full-time operations jobs at $60 an hour. The $5 billion investment was estimated to yield up to $65 million in property tax revenue annually. Opponents of the project have been critical of the effect it would have on residents' utility bills, nearby property values, and noise levels. Gauthier Lemays-Young, director of strategic communications for Hut 8, said the company is disappointed by the board's decision, but respects its authority and the local process by which the decision was reached. We're assessing the implications for the proposed project and will determine the appropriate path forward in the coming weeks, Lemays-Young said. We remain committed to building long-term local partnerships and delivering meaningful economic benefits. Under the amended regulations reviewed by the board in March, no data center shall be approved unless a water feasibility study demonstrates that the anticipated water supply yield is adequate for the project and that the proposed water demand will not endanger or adversely affect the quantity or quality of local groundwater supplies and surface waters in the vicinity of the facility. Hut 8's proposal would use a closed-loop cooling system, which wouldn't require the data center to tap into local water supplies other than for standard plumbing. Any violation of the county's ordinance would be punishable by a civil penalty of not more than $50,000 for the first offense, $100,000 for the second offense, and $200,000 for any subsequent offense plus referral to the county board. Dale Nelson, vice president of the Logan County Board, said the ordinance is under review by the Logan County State's Attorney's Office, but finalized recommendations could be brought to the board for consideration next month. Also, state news, Soldier Field, Illinois. Pritzker updates NFL chief on Bears deal. Chicago, with days left until a deadline to pass legislation this spring, Governor J.B. Pritzker acknowledged he had recently spoken with NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell and maintained that the Bears and NFL are only considering a new stadium in Arlington Heights or Indiana, not Chicago. It was good. It was short. I wanted to let him know and keep him up to date on what was happening, Pritzker said of the conversation with the commissioner. I will say that it's clear from the statements by the Bears and statements by the NFL that there are really only two places that the Bears are considering having their stadium going forward, and that's either in the state of Indiana or in Arlington Heights. The comments came amid a public back and forth between Pritzker and Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, as the first-term mayor has made a last-minute effort to keep the team in the city. Johnson on Tuesday attributed the disconnect with the governor on the stadium issue to the two coming from different upbringings, pointing to the governor's billionaire status. I'm not a billionaire. I'm not an heir to billions of dollars. I'm a working-class brother that was teaching middle school a handful of years ago, Johnson said Tuesday on the Matt McGill Show on WVON, 1690 AM. My motivation to make sure that a corporation keeps jobs in Chicago is so that families don't have to struggle like my family did. And so, yes, that's going to come across as a little more provocative because that's what's at stake for him. Because what's at stake for him, it's not the same. It's what's at stake for me. Pritzker shot back Wednesday that the disagreement was about our values and that he had focused on the working class, the middle class, and the people most vulnerable throughout my career. Do we spend $2.4 billion of taxpayer dollars on Chicago Bears, or do we want to spend a lot less than that in order to keep the Chicago Bears in Illinois? Pritzker said, comparing a plan Johnson backed in 2024 to build a domed stadium next to Soldier Field that went nowhere, and the team's plans to build on the former Arlington Park racetrack site in Arlington Heights. Illinois lawmakers may face a May 31st deadline to advance a stadium tax proposal during the current spring session, one of many pieces of unfinished business they'll address in the coming days, including the state budget for the upcoming year. Pritzker earlier this week expressed optimism that both chambers would pass a so-called mega projects bill before the legislative session closes, while also knocking Johnson for having no plan to keep the team in Chicago. The Johnson administration has disputed that characterization. The governor on Wednesday said he hadn't spoken with Johnson since the mayor made those remarks, but maintained the two remain friends. The Bears have for years focused on the former Arlington International Racecourse site in Arlington Heights, which the team purchased in early 2023. And the photo that accompanies this article shows people standing outside of Soldier Field, and you see the Soldier Field title on the wall of the outside walls of the stadium, dedicated to the men and women of the armed services. And several people are in line waiting to enter the Chicago Bears draft party at Soldier Field on April 23rd, 2026. In Chicago, and we just see the backs of people in line. Several people, young people, old people, all kinds of people, all kinds of fans. Also on page A3, FBI Viper sting nets 29 arrests. A joint high-intensity fugitive apprehension initiative involving the FBI and the Decatur Police Department was hailed as a major success Wednesday after the arrest of 29 suspects. Dubbed Operation Viper, the recently completed five-day effort was aimed at safeguarding the public by getting dangerous criminals off the street. Operation Viper focused on locating and apprehending violent offenders with active warrants, the FBI Springfield office said in a news release. This coordinated strike spanned the eastern side of central Illinois and focused on the most high-impact fugitives in the region. As well as the 29 arrests, Operation Viper resulted in the seizure of 5 handguns and 2 assault rifles. Police and FBI also seized more than 9 pounds of marijuana and other identified drugs in the form of pills weighing nearly 2 pounds. Additionally, the drug haul included more than an ounce of cocaine and 8 ounces of methamphetamine. The operation sent a clear message that illegal activity has no place in our communities, said Decatur Chief of Police Brad Allen. I'm proud of the work our officers and partner agencies did to take 29 offenders into custody and remove significant quantities of narcotics and weapons from our streets. This is about protecting lives, improving neighborhood safety, and holding those who choose to break the law accountable. Our work continues, and we remain committed to keeping our community safe, he said. Ryan Presley, special agent in charge of the FBI Springfield office, said Operation Viper showed seamless integration between law enforcement agencies at the federal, state, and local level. No single agency can combat violent crime alone, but by pooling our resources, immediate threats to the public were eliminated, Presley added. Maintaining this relentless pressure on violent crime remains a priority to protect the public. Operation Viper also received major support from the United States Marshals Service and the Kankakee County Sheriff's Office. In What's Happening on page A4, Ziggy Marley to perform at the State Fair. This is from Springfield. Reggae musician Ziggy Marley will headline the Illinois State Fair grandstand on Tuesday, August 18th. Marley is a 9-time Grammy Award winner, producer, and humanitarian. He has spent nearly 40 years making music as a tool for unity and self-reflection and to uplift, according to a news release. He is the eldest son of Bob and Rita Marley. Marley is said to have forged his own path in the genre by blending different elements of soul, rock, funk, and other global sounds to spread love, justice, resilience, and positivity through his music, said the news release. Part of what makes the Illinois State Fair so special is the variety of entertainment we're able to bring to fairgoers each year, said Jerry Costello II, Illinois Department of Agriculture director, in a news release. From country and rock to folk and reggae, we want the grandstand lineup to reflect a wide range of music our fairgoers love, said. And Ziggy Marley is an exciting addition to this year's schedule, he said. Marley is known for songs like Tomorrow, People, True to Myself, and Beach in Hawaii, as well as the albums Love is My Religion, Fly Rasta, and most recently his 9th studio album, Bright Side, which explores themes of perseverance, hope, and optimism in challenging times, the release said. He's also widely recognized for the theme song of the PBS children's show, Arthur. He was the producer on the 2024 biopic, Bob Marley, One Love. Additionally, Marley has his own nonprofit, URGE, U-R-G-E, supporting children and families through education, healthcare, and community outreach programs in Jamaica, Africa, and North America. Reggae is not something we've featured often on the grandstand stage, which makes this concert really unique, said Rebecca Clark, fair manager, in the release. Ziggy Marley brings an incredible energy and a style of music that will create a completely different atmosphere at the fair. Tickets go on sale at 10 a.m. Saturday, May 23rd, via Ticketmaster. Tickets range from $40 to $105. Pre-show party tickets are also available for $30 for all paid concerts. The fair runs August 13th through the 23rd at the fairgrounds. Other headliners include Bailey Zimmerman on August 14th, Lainey Wilson, Matchbox 20, special on August 17th, the Avett Brothers, Ella Langley, the Chicks, and Shinedown. That's all we have time for the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated Friday, May 22nd, 2026. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.